Shalom. Welcome to the Mideast Report, the news from a Jewish perspective. This is Brian French announcing. In this week's edition, construction of the security fence near Maccabim Reut proceeds. Omert sets Hamas red lines, but no explanation what will happen if they are breached. Is anybody really surprised Hamas has won? A commentary from the Emet News Service. Spanish Chief of Staff visits Israel. And we hear from Professor Bernard Lewis on Hamas and Iran. Earlier this month, the High Court of Justice rejected two petitions protesting for opposite reasons the route of the security fence between Maccabim Reut and the Palestinian village of Beit Sira, and lifted the interim injunction blocking construction. A panel of three justices headed by Supreme Court President Aaron Barak ruled that the route of the fence properly balanced the security needs of the Israeli population and the quality of life and well-being of the Palestinians. We are satisfied that in the circumstances, the decision of the military commander fell within the realm of reasonability pertinent to these issues, wrote Barak. The military commander's decision came after he had weighed all the relevant information and in accordance with the standards established by this court in the guideline decisions it has handed down in connection with the fence. Barak wrote, in establishing the new fenced route, it is obvious that the state made an effort to reduce the harm to the Palestinian residents while at the same time trying to achieve its security goals. Accordingly, work in the section which has been held back has resumed. Jerusalem Newswire reports Israeli acting Prime Minister Ehud Olmert Saturday clearly set out his government's red lines for dealing with the Hamas terrorist organization following the blood-soaked group's shocking rise to power within the Palestinian Authority last week. In accordance to an official communique from his media advisor, Olmert told UN Secretary General Kofi Annan in a telephone conversation that Israel has three firm demands. Hamas and all other Palestinian terror groups must disarm. The Hamas covenant, which denounces peaceful negotiations and calls for the destruction of Israel through jihad, must be annulled. And all the agreements which have been signed and all the commitments which have been entered into by the Palestinian Authority must be accepted and upheld. What was unclear was how the Olmert government intends to respond should Hamas fail to meet any or all of the above criteria. For its part, Hamas has both before and after its election victory last Wednesday, declared its intention to hold fast to its ultimate goal of eradicating the Zionist occupation in all of Palestine. The Palestinian people voted for resistance, i.e. anti-Israel terrorism, and Hamas will turn this victory to the service of the Palestinian people and the protection of the resistance, leading Hamas candidate Ismail Haniyeh told the Jerusalem Post. Hamas overall Damascus-based leader Khaled Maskal said his group's presence in the legislature will strengthen its ability to wage war against Israel. Haniyeh confirmed for reporters last week that Hamas' top priority remains compelling the liberation of other parts of Palestine. The IDF Chief of Staff, Lieutenant General Dan Halutz, hosted the Chief of Staff of the Spanish Army Army General Felix Sanz Roldan and his wife, Senora Maria Justel Parandones Pila, as his official guests. During the visit, which took place from January 29th to February 1st, the Spanish chief of staff toured army bases and held meetings during which he heard summaries from the senior commanders of the IDF and the security staff. General Roldan also toured the route of the security fence and visited Yad Vashem Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem. The visit of the Spanish chief of staff is an important stage in the development of the cooperation between the IDF and the Spanish army. The chief of staff of the Spanish army joins the list of chiefs of staffs of European armies who visited Israel in the last months, such as the chiefs of staff of Italy and Germany. Is anybody really surprised Hamas won? A commentary from the Emet News Service. After last week's victory by Hamas in the Palestinian Authority elections, the entire world acted shocked. How could the Arab people in Israel vote for terrorists to rule over them? How could they possibly want the Hamas terrorist organization to be in power instead of the Fatah terrorist organization? Think back, a little over 10 years ago, people were asking the same thing about the Palestinian Liberation Organization, PLO. How could Israel possibly make peace with the PLO? How could Israel give land to their enemies who have sworn to wipe them out? How soon we forget. Whether the world wants to face it or not, it seems it doesn't. There is only one difference between Hamas and the PLO. Hamas actually takes care of its people. Over the years, Hamas has offered medical and educational support, as well as setting up a welfare system for the Arab people in Israel. They have offered services to the citizens that the PLO never offered, despite being given billions of dollars in aid for that very purpose over the past 10 years. Nevertheless, Hamas is still a terrorist organization responsible for the death of many Israelis. Murder is murder, no matter how you make it look. The actual truth of it all is that leaders like U.S. President George W. Bush say they are fighting a war on terror, yet continue to give hundreds of millions of dollars to terrorist organizations. Just this past month, Bush gave $2 million of U.S. taxpayer money to the Fatah terrorist organization for their election campaign, a violation of several U.S. federal laws. In the end, for the Bush administration at least, there is no war on terror. The war is on those who oppose the Bush administration. The Fatah terrorist organization, a part of the PLO terrorist organization, is just as dangerous as Hamas. Or should I say, Hamas is no more dangerous than Fatah. There is no difference. Both terrorist organizations have been involved in suicide bombings that have killed many Israelis. The PLO never changed their charter. It still states that their main goal is the destruction of the nation of Israel. Their leaders still speak of wiping Israel off the map. Where else have we heard that? Why does everybody get so upset when the leader of Iran speaks of wiping Israel off the map, but no one says anything when the leaders of Fatah say it on a regular basis? Perhaps the positive aspect of this is that it may cause many people to wake up and see what is happening. Hopefully, eyes will be opened to see the ludicrousness of making peace with enemies who want to destroy you. Hopefully, many will see that the vision of George W. Bush is actually a demonic nightmare. In any case, God has gathered his people back to their land, and he will keep them. Am Yisrael Chai. And that was a commentary from the Emet News Service. Adon Olam Asher Malach Beter Yetzir Nivra
אזי מלך שמו נקרא. ואחרי ככלות הכל לבדו ימלוך נורא, והוא היה והוא הווה והוא יהיה בתפארה, והוא אחד ואין שני להמשיל לו להכבירה, בלי ראשית בלי תכלית ולא העוז והמשרה, והוא אלי וחי גואלי וצור חבלי בעת צהרה, והוא ניסי ומנוס לי מנת כוסי ביום הקרא.
You are listening to the Mideast Report, the news from a Jewish perspective. This is Brian French announcing. Professor Bernard Lewis, a world expert on the Islamic world, has been commenting on the Hamas election victory and Iran. Both Hamas and Iran do not accept the existence of Israel and are committed to the destruction of the Jewish state. Interviewed on Channel 1 TV Israel, Professor Lewis of Princeton University presented his assessment of Hamas and Iran and the Islamic world.
With the Hamas victory in the Palestinian Authority, what are the lessons, the long-term lessons, that Israel or the Western world should draw from this general support that it got with the Palestinian people?
Well, the first lesson is not to harbor any illusions, to recognize the character and intentions of the adversary, but that does not mean also to misrepresent or misunderstand those elements in the Islamic world that do not support Ahmadinejad or the Hamas. There are many others. For example, in the recent election in Iraq, there was one man who led a party. Part of their program was the need to establish diplomatic relations with Israel, and he was elected to the Iraqi parliament. I think that's quite remarkable.
One of the lessons should have been, in history, I learned that one of the dictums, if you will, was that every revolution in due course tends to be more moderate, tends to soften. We didn't see it in Iran, did we?
No, I don't think that's the lesson that tends to soften. What has happened, I mean, we can compare the Iranian revolution with others. As you know, the word revolution is much used in the Middle East. In fact, generally, it's the only recognized title to legitimacy. And there have been a whole series of what are called revolutions, but what might more accurately be described as coup d'etat or something of the sort. But the Iranian revolution was a genuine revolution in the same sense that one speaks of the French Revolution or the Russian Revolution. That's to say, it had a strong ideological base. It brought about a real transfer of power and a real transformation of the society. And also, like the French and Russian revolutions, it evoked a tremendous response in the whole world with which it shared a common universe of discourse. Well, that was certainly the impact of the French Revolution. It was the impact of the Russian Revolution. And the Iranian Revolution had a similar impact in the Islamic world. I remember myself when I was visiting Indonesia, visiting Muslim universities in Indonesia not long after the Iranian Revolution, and the students had pictures of Khomeini in their dormitories. The impact was enormous, in spite of the fact that Iran is Shiite and most of the Muslim world is Sunni. But then if we continue the comparison between the French and Russian revolutions on the one hand and the Iranian revolution on the other, we see, for example, in Iran the same sort of disagreement between the Jacobins and the Girondins, between the Mensheviks and the Bolsheviks, the so-called moderates and the extremists. And they are going through the same phases of the terror and the repression. And I would say that now the Iranian revolution has reached what you might call the Stalinist or the Napoleonic phase, comparing with those two others. And that is, of course, a particularly dangerous one
yes,
for the rest of the world.
Professor Lewis, your recent book, which was translated to Hebrew, was What Went Wrong? And now your book, which was translated to Hebrew just now, is The Crisis of Islam. So you talked before about optimism, but the title of your books do not share this optimism with you.
I don't see that. I mean, if you ask what went wrong, it's obviously you realize that something has gone wrong, and that is the first step towards putting it right. And the Muslim world has been asking itself this question with increasing urgency for some time now. As to the crisis of Islam, there too, I think there is a great awareness within the Islamic world that the old answers are no longer adequate, that the old world has disappeared and will not come back, and they are looking for different answers. And of course, there have been a number of different answers, some of which we, that is to say, the outside world, would welcome, others of which we would regard with fear and apprehension. And in the book, I try to review these different tendencies within the Islamic world, how they see their religion and their religiously defined civilization, how they see the changes which have taken place, how they see the crises and the problems, and how they propose solutions.
And do you see any realistic reform movement within the Islamic world?
Yes, I do. There are democratic movements now in several countries, and I think they deserve encouragement.
Thank you very much.
I agree that it's not easy, and the outcome is by no means assured, but these tendencies do exist.
In other news, Islamists this past week violently protested and threatened hostage-taking after a Dutch newspaper released political cartoons depicting Muhammad and Muslims as bloodthirsty warmongers. The Dutch newspaper soon apologized for printing and releasing the political cartoons, but Arabic newspapers have shown no indication of apologizing for the releasing and printing of offensive, dehumanizing cartoons targeting Jews, Judaism, Israel, and Christianity, which they have been printing for years. The cartoons were carried in newspapers throughout the European Union. You have been listening to the Mideast Report, the news from a Jewish perspective. This week's news items have originated from Isracast, www.isracast.com. Jerusalem Newswire, www.jnewswire.com. The Emet News Service, www.shamar.org/EMET. The Mideast Report is a production of WVJW 94.1 FM, Benwood, West Virginia.
Adon Olam Asher Bara Beterem Kol Yetzir Nivra Ve'en Asa Bechef Tzoko Azay Melech Azay Melech Shebo Nivra Ve'acharei Kichlot Hakol Levado Imeloch Nora Ve'u Haya Ve'u Ove Ve'u Ye Ve'u Ye Betifara Adon Olam Asher Bara Beterem Kol Yetzi Nivra Ve'et Nasa Bechefzo Kol Azay Melech Shebo Nivra Achare Kichlot Hakol Levado Imeloch Nora Hu Haya Ve'u Ove Ve'u Ye Betifara Adon Olam Asher Bara Beterem Kol Yetzi Nivra Ve'et Nasa Bechefzo Kol Azay Melech Shebo Nivra Achare Kichlot Hakol Levado Imeloch Nora Hu Haya Ve'u Ove Betifara Ve'u Haya Ve'u Ove Betifara Asher bara Beterem kol Yetzir nivra Ve'et nasa Bechevzo kol Azay melech Azay melech Shebo nivra Ve'acharei Kichlot hakol Levado Imeloch Nora Ve'u Haya Ve'u Ove Ve'u Ye Ve'u Ye Betifara Adon Olam Asher Bara Beterem Kol Yetzi Nivra Ve'et Nasa Bechefzo Kol Azay Melech Shebo Nivra Achare Kichlot Hakol Levado Imeloch Nora Ve'u Haya Ve'u Ove Ve'u Ye Betifara Adon Olam Asher Bara Beterem Kol Yetzi Nivra Ve'et Nasa Bechefzo Kol Azay Melech Shebo Nivra Achare Kichlot Hakol Levado Imeloch Nora Ve'u Haya Ve'u Ove Betifara Ve'u Haya Ve'u Ove Betifara אשר ברא בטרם כל יציר נברא ונשא בחפצו כל אזי מלך שבו נברא אחרי ככלות הכל לבדו עם תוך נורא והוא היה והוא הווה והוא יהיה בתפארה דון עולם אשר ברא בטרם כל יציר נברא ונשא בחפצו כל אזי מלך שבו נברא אחרי ככלות הכל לבדו עם תוך נורא והוא היה והוא הווה בתפארה והוא היה והוא הווה בתפארה והוא היה והוא הווה